Father, we're grateful for bringing us together again, for the work of the Spirit in us that causes us to come and fellowship and gives us strength and grace, and we ask for your help this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Good to see you again. We've had a good week. Salem and Sacramento, and we've come through with strong colors. I want to share with you something this morning. I know the verses by heart, so that's why I'm not looking at my Bible, you understand. One of the great insights into our situation before the Lord is Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Now that's a great text. I think most people look at that wistfully and think, gee, I wish I could do that. But how can I soar like an eagle when I'm working with turkeys? My feet are mired in the clay. How can I get off the ground? And I can't even get off the swamp. You know, how do I get up into the stratosphere? It's hard to believe that you are already doing it. Do you realize that? You're already soaring like the eagle in your spirit. Not always in your flesh. Your flesh may be still trapped in a mire. But your circumstances of life are all temporary in one way or another. But the thing you need to know is that you are soaring like eagles. The promise is fulfilled. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And then the companion verse, which we seem to always like to take together with it, is Isaiah 41:10. Marvelous verse. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Not yours. People think that if they're going to really be soaring like eagles, they've got to get spiritual. Which means like taking off like a duck. You ever watch a duck take off? They get up their speed. They flap their wings and start flapping across the water to get off the water. And you're not flapping like ducks. You're soaring like the eagle. It's the righteousness of Christ. I mean, the average person feels very negative about themselves. Of course, I've said to you before, and I repeat it, that's why they listen to amateurs, because they assume everybody's better than they are. Anybody that comes along with a word from the Scripture, oh, that must be right, because they're certainly a lot better than I am. And I wouldn't bank on that if I were you. I've been around the block with people, and I think they're all alike. So instead of flapping like a duck and trying to get off the water, you just realize all you got to do is look down. I mean, look down by the fact that you're already up. Look where you've come from, where you've been. Your spirit is released, even though you're still. Your feet are still chugging along in the mud, maybe, and things are tough, but the Spirit is in you is what keeps you going. And you're steady and steadfast. Now, you may say, yeah, but I don't really like what the Lord's doing to me. And you may shout and blubber, whatever you want to do, but it doesn't make any difference. How you feel in the flesh doesn't make any difference, because, you know, I've always said to you, and I reiterate it because I think it's a vital point, that your feelings in the flesh are all tied specifically to the grid pattern of your brain. Now, people, when I talk like that, people think I'm not being very spiritual. Well, I guess I'm not. I'm being very pragmatic, very realistic, because it's true. I mean, it's true within the framework of a human's capacity to be true. I've always cautioned you about that. I'm not going to say a scientific fact, because science is not all that certain either, but it is a recognized fact that the human brain is made up of a great number of neurons. You don't have to guess about that. They're there. And the whole network's been built in different ways. And each person has their own network. Whatever you've been, everything that has happened to you, and all the genes in you and so forth, go together to make up that network. Now, how are you going to get in there and separate one little neuron from another? I mean, here's a person, for example, who has a great fear of flying. And someone says, all you got to do is trust Jesus. Well, I mean, that's all right to say if you don't have acrophobia. And the people who don't have acrophobia are all in there telling you to trust Jesus. There are many different human frailties in the personality pattern that make it harder for one person than another to get their act together in the flesh. And you even have the people that are euphoric, people that are just almost beside themselves with hip, hip, hooray. Euphoria means a good feeling which really goes beyond rationale. That's in the flesh. When we have Christ in our spirit, we are lifted above the circumstances, but isn't euphoria. What it is the peace of Christ that surfaces, you see. It surfaces when you need it. Like the grace of Christ, it surfaces when you need it. But you don't get it ahead of time. You don't get it to think about somebody else. You know, I don't know if I can stand that, you know. I was talking up at Salem. I had to give the people give them the straight goods. And, you know, I was kind of talking like I am now. The Lord gives the grace and the peace and so forth. And this one girl, she says, well, that's almost inhuman. You say, well, I said, of course it's inhuman. I mean, it's the Spirit of Christ. You can't reason your way to peace. I mean, you try to figure it out. You lie in bed at night and you got a problem. You try to figure it out. You say, well, I really ought to be at peace because A, B, C, and D. It doesn't work that way. You can be the world's greatest theologian and still not be able to put it together and feel any comfort from ideas that you have and a lot of platitudes. You know, one of the great things we have to face is the platitudes. That is, everybody has an angle. Everybody wants to comfort you and so forth. But the only real comfort you get is from the Spirit. And that's certainly true in times of mourning, distress. People say all kinds of crazy things, you know. I remember when my father died a number of years ago and everybody tried to gather around and comfort. And, yeah, they're doing the best they can. They're trying to help you. But, you know, well, you'll see him again, and, you know, all these things that don't make any difference at all. I mean, they're doing their best. You're glad they care. The ultimate point is that you're going to get comforted by the Spirit of Christ according to your need and not by human rationale. So don't try to reason your way yourselves to it. But I have learned from a great many experiences. We've had some negative factors in our lives before. When the moment comes that you need the grace, you have it. But you don't have it ahead of time to think about it. And you don't have it for somebody else. You don't have it to try to identify with their problems and say, gee, I don't know how I could go through that. Well, people talk about the martyrs, for example. Now, that was a tough shot. We've had a fairly easy time in this country. And I suppose we're probably not as sturdy, perhaps, as some of those old-timers were. But in the period of martyrdom, there's a book out called Fox's Book of Martyrs, which gives you the history of it. Not good reading for late night. Gets a little hairy. But it's amazing how the people, young people that didn't think they could face it, suddenly at the moment of martyrdom, felt great peace. One young woman who was sort of a classic case was very much, very frightened, of course, and when the moment came, they ran a sword in there, And she didn't feel anything, so she wanted to feel something, and she took the sword and turned it just so she would feel something. But she was so much in the grace of Christ that she didn't even feel it. Now, I can say to you from long experience, heavy experience, when you get right down to the wire, the grace will be there. And the peace will be there. But it's not going to be there by reason. And of course, that's what Paul says. It's a peace that passes understanding. Now he says he'll keep your hearts and minds. Well, then how come I'm telling you that your brain is going to be a problem to you if he's going to keep your hearts and minds? Well, he'll keep your brain, your mind. Sometimes the word nous in Greek is used as a in a broader sense of spirit. But even at that, again, you wouldn't be here today if he hadn't kept your minds. Your mind has to go along and say, well, I'm going to go to the meeting in spite of everything. And so your mind has to function in that respect. The heart is often used for spirit, the deeper inner self. So he puts a guard around it. And you can think to yourself, how do I happen to have gotten this far with all that has happened? Well, remember, you're mounting up with wings like eagles. That's what brings you in here. You're the eagle core. Something I want to share with you, because most people read a verse like that and think, you know, I'll never have that. Say, I'll never be able to soar like an eagle because I'm so earthbound. Well, of course you're earthbound. We're all earthbound. But your spirit isn't. Who is it that said iron bars do not a prison? No, stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. You keep that in mind. You may think you're in a cage down here and that you're trapped, but your spirit isn't trapped. And your spirit, that's what counts, after all, in the long run. You'd say, but I'd like to feel better. Well, there's a lot of angles to that. Feeling better has a lot to do with medical practice, has a lot to do with positive thinking, and a lot of angles to feeling better. You have people that are hypochondriac who don't feel good any time, and yet you can't criticize them because they've got a hypochondriac gene in them somewhere. You probably have met people like that. Oh, you've got a pain somewhere, a hypochondriac, and they fill the doctor's office. I think one doctor said to me that 90% of the people that come into the office shouldn't be there. Well, if people have a hypochondriac gene in them, I guess they can't really help that. And you can tell people to buck up and be positive and all that stuff, but they're not going to be that anyway. So, and people that are fearful. Now, we had a woman in the meeting this week, and she came up to me and said, you know, I've been fearful all my life. I've just been really fearful. She couldn't even ride in an elevator. So anyway, that night I had talked about peace, and I concluded and said, well, just go in peace. And she said to me, you know, that just stuck with me. It just seemed to melt away the fears. But you see, that's the Spirit of Christ that does that. Of course, he says, fear thou not, for I'm with thee. You think the Lord is with you? A lot of people wonder. I wonder if he can really be with me because I'm such a blackguard, you know. Sure, he's with you. You wouldn't be here. Remember that. If he weren't with you, you wouldn't be here. You'd be off doing something more fun, I suppose. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. You have the God of the universe looking after you. He's got your interest at heart. He's taken you through a lot of things, and he'll take you through more. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And that's the crux of the matter. If you're depending on your own goodness or righteousness or prayers even or anything else to get you favor with God, forget it. Now, remember, dear, dear friends and family, you're the family here. Remember, you're part of the family. You're part of God's family. And you know that you have family problems. Some of you have children that give you a problem now and then, right? The children around it, they all look so sweet and lovely here in church on Sunday, but I have a suspicion that all is not smooth during the week. They're on their best behavior. Of course, if this is their best behavior, it hurts me to see them in their worst behavior. No, they're all good people. They're just people, widow people. Remember, the Lord embraces them. He embraces you. As you embrace your children and you have it out with them, I know that. I've heard a few scenes, had a few, but you don't throw them out. And next day, things are different. I've seen some pretty rough situations sort of melt away the next day and everybody's out having a good time again because it's family. I told you last week about the bramble bush. You're all bramble bushes. You got your thorns, your points, you scratch one another. Yet, we embrace you. Christ embraces you. The kids have bramble thorns on them, but you embrace them. Don't try to get too close to them. I want you to look at that side of Christ today. Not the downside, it's sort of a common thing that the Lord's looking over your shoulder to see if you're doing everything just right. If you don't do something just right, you're not in the elite group that He's going to help. Forget all of that nonsense. You make your mistakes? Yeah. I don't think anybody here is without a mistake. If you are, raise your hand. We'll ask you how you did it. But you make mistakes. You get into trouble, mischief. Sometimes you do what's right, and sometimes you don't. But you belong to the family of Christ. And the Lord looks after His own, believe me. So don't ever feel that you can't just come to Christ and feel good about it. You don't have to duck when you come into the presence of Christ. A lot of people think so. You know, I'm not good enough to talk to the Lord. He doesn't like me. I think 90% of Christians think the Lord doesn't like them too well. You know, you're all right. You think you're all right, but He doesn't really think you're one of His great ones. But you're just right in there with all the rest of them. You're just part of His family. And I think to myself, I go around all over this country and talk to people, and they're like a family to me. I know they've got their problems. You know, I embrace them. I'm open to them. Care about them. I plead their cause before the Lord, but He probably cares more about them than I do. So whatever you've been thinking about yourself, negative, remember this. You're as biased about the judgment about yourself as you are about others. You're not going to get a straight answer. If you ask yourself, how am I doing? You're not going to give yourself a straight answer. You're always going to be negative about it. I don't know many people who say, I'm just doing swell. God, I'm glad I'm one of your favorite people. No. No. You belong to Him. He's going to take care of you. He's already taking care of you. You don't have to. I'm not throwing this promise out or these promises as something you've got to reach for. They're already true. I don't tell you get closer to Christ. How can you be closer than your spirit? Like old Tennyson says, I've quoted it often, speak to Him then for He heareth, and spirit with spirit doth meet. Nearer is He than breathing. Closer than hands or feet. So what more do you want? He's in your spirit. He's got you in His hands. You get hurt a little bit, but that's life. That's life. You feel bad sometimes, and that's life. But when you're right down to wire, the grace of Christ is there. It surfaces. And every new current, remember this forever. Write it on your tombstone. Every new current that comes along, your wings will carry you on it to a higher plane. So here you are, you've overcome it all. You may have had some personal problems through it. You may not feel great. But you're with Christ. You're still His. He's still got you in His hands. That's what He says. I will keep you, I'll help you, keep you, uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And of course, Paul says the same thing. He said, I count these things but dung that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the flesh, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. But you're not going to throw piety at Him because you haven't got any. You're not going to throw prayers at Him because all you need to do is say, help, Lord, you know. You're not going to throw fervency at Him. Look at me, Lord, I'm so fervent, oh, I'm praying all night. You've got to know how fervent I am. He knows how fervent you are if you pray one line. He doesn't need that. Don't try to be fervent and don't try to be pious. Don't try to change your lifestyle. I thought if I got a word from a medic that said to me, well, sorry, I got to tell you, you've only got 2 weeks to live. Now, what would I do with those 2 weeks? Exactly what I'm doing now. Because I'm not going to con Christ. I'm not going to fool Him and say, look at me, Lord, I'm really great now. Get ready for me. No. Just go a day at a time. Feet clogging with the mud, but your spirit soaring with the eagles. Now, this moment, here in this building, in this place, with all your troubles and problems, whatever they are, they're soaring like the eagle. And you're with Christ. You got His spirit in you because He says we are partakers of the divine nature. I mean, these are the Lord's words, not mine. These are not things a human can devise. Humanly, you would think you have to climb the ladder to God. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says when you get right down to nitty-gritty, all of a sudden you take off. Your spirit is with Him. So be at peace. Go in peace. Go all week now in peace. Say, all right, Lord, I made my mistakes. I've got my problems. I've got my feet in the mud. But I'm with You and You're with me, and I know that. And You're my Father. I'm Your child. We're going to make it. If that's inhuman, of course it's inhuman. The human thing is to grovel in the mud. But it's divine because the Spirit gives you a grace that goes beyond a human capacity. So I'm going to close, of course, again with the words I've repeated often from Jehoshaphat. We have no might against this great company, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon Thee. And then the Lord says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. So what are you going to throw at Satan? A beach ball or what? You know? I think we call that the BS, the beach ball syndrome, where you can try to hit Satan with a beach ball. The beach ball of your own religious activities and exercises. Well, be at peace. Let's have a prayer. Father, we ask You to take these words spoken in the human frame, but we believe the Spirit addresses us all here. In Christ's name, amen.